Fred Film Radio, from the 1st to the 8th of October, is joining the Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 35th Pordenone Silent Film Festival, Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, and I'm very pleased to be joined by David Robinson. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So, of course, you were the director of the festival for almost two decades.
Yes.
So my first question to you is quite simply, how did you see the evolution of this festival from the moment you started to last year, and how are you experiencing it now that you're not the director?
Now I know why people like it, because they can sit down, watch films, hear music, and it's just wonderful. You know, if you're the director, you're not so lucky. Maybe you could go see evening shows, but it's quite a busy job looking after everything as director. How did it evolve? Well, all sorts of things. Because we had a lot of adventures. We lost our cinema and had to evacuate to a nearby town where we had a beautiful cinema. We were at first they weren't very happy, because the town had everything. It's beautiful. It had a beautiful cinema. It didn't really have any hotels, so we had to bring people from Pordenone by bus every day. At first they didn't like that. Then they found it was a great social occasion, and they found themselves on the bus talking to people that they'd seen around for years and never knew who they were. And people grew to like it, and they certainly grew to love Sicily and our theatre there. But when we moved, then we had to make do something new. So at that point, we invented the Collegium, we invented the master classes. We introduced a catalogue. We'd never had a catalogue before. Wow. I know it's from 1999 that we had a catalogue. It was rather a shock for people before. They just had bits of paper. So I think that over the years we've given it more of a structure. Mm. And one of the first things I did was actually to have timings on films. But in the early days, we started at 8:30. We knew what was going to be shown, but we didn't know when it would be shown, and it just ran on till it finished, which might be about 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. It was largely when we went to Sicily, where there's not, because you know, it was fine. People, my film's going to. Well, this one's not finished. It'll be in half an hour or something like that. Okay, but they stood around and chatted in the foyer. But we didn't have a big foyer in the other cinema. We said, oh gosh, we've got to have the film starting on time, and I think that was a major revolution and a very good one too.
It's so good in size, but I have to say that one thing that I'm really impressed with this festival is that it's so incredibly well organized. I think screening start and time, that's so important. But I just wanted to point that out. The question that I want to ask you is, let's just say that our listener isn't familiar with this festival, La Giornata del Cinema Muto. How would you sort of describe it to someone who isn't familiar with it?
Well, it's entirely devoted to silent films, and most of those silent films were made more than 80 years ago, some of them 100 years ago. But we're in the business of saying, look, these films, I mean, just like an old book still has its vitality, these old films have their vitality, terrific vitality. You just have to see them properly. Years ago, if you saw a silent film, it was dirty and scratched and you couldn't really see the pictures, and it was shown at the wrong speed and people ran about. Well, a great deal of restoration is going on, digital restoration also. We're into the business showing films that are restored, that are complete and in good condition. Mm. We're very much concerned with showing at the right speed. Don't always succeed, but because anyway, the films were shot at variable speed somewhere. Mm. Silent films, there was never such a thing as silent films. Films were never silent. They were always, from the very beginning, accompanied by music. We worked very, very hard to provide good musical accompaniments. In the early days, obviously, as you got out to Cinemas in the Sticks, it was hit and miss. I don't think that we're not doing authentic musical accompaniments as they were in the 1920s. I think very often we're doing something much more sophisticated.
That's it. Showing silent films to a modern audience, what are the challenges of doing that? Obviously, in the program, you've got to have the right mix of films.
Yes, well, there were great silent films, there were good silent films, there were rotten silent films, and we as if we were doing a repertory cinema, we try to show good films, we try to show interesting films, films of good quality, films which we can contextualise, that we'll group the films by a director, by a theme, by a country.
And does an audience react to a silent film in a different way from, say, watching a film, contemporary film, but also just a film with sound?
Well, I mean, here we have an audience which is accustomed to it, so they don't. I remember that when it's only from about 1980 that silent films have been shown with some kind of organisation and with music, and it began in 1980 when Kevin Brownlow and David Gill restored Napoleon, and Napoleon was the start of everything in November 1980. We can date it exactly. Now, I remember that every year Photoplay, which was Kevin Brownlow and David Gill, they would present silent films, and Kevin always had to go on the stage before the film and say, look, these films are different, people act differently, and it's not funny, don't laugh. he really had to go up there and threaten them and say, don't dare to laugh. But it was a real situation. People were not accustomed to seeing them, and people did laugh at the acting. But I mean, here they don't. Sometimes there's a bit of bad acting, yes. But essentially, the mime of the body language. There has to be a strong body language. Some of the acting is incredible. I mean, if you get somebody on screen like Ivan Masyukin or Fairbanks or any of the greats. I mean, it's different from acting now. It's different from anything we've seen. It's not ballet. It's not exactly what we know as film. It's not theatre. It's silent cinema, and it's a language you have to learn.
Yeah.
I think there's something, Kevin, you say, you're probably the sort of people who laugh if you hear a foreigner speaking because it's not English.
Well, I've so much to ask you, but obviously we're going to see Al Christie now. We're going to a screening very soon. So I want to take advantage of the fact that you're here to actually ask you about this year's program and your experience in the festival in a different way. So you're watching some of the, you're attending the screenings. What have you seen so far that you really liked? What's your opinion of the films that you've seen?
Well, I think it's a terrific program. I originally had the idea of Jade doing it, and then he was so enthusiastic for it. I thought maybe he's not the right. you don't know what the hazards are. But I mean, I think it's wonderful. I think I feel so happy. I'm enjoying his program,
any titles that you can mention?
Well, the Polish films to me are a big. We just didn't know. Polish films. Polish films began with Andrzej Wajda.
Yeah, that's true.
It's wonderful. What a great tradition it is.
And so rare. About 20 feature films exist to this day of the period, which is fantastic. That they're screened at Pordenone this year.
But this isn't the first time. I mean, there was a time when there were no Japanese silent films. There were two which were been sent to the West and hadn't got destroyed in the earthquake or the war or anything like that. Yeah. But I mean, now there's a great repertory of they come out of the woodwork somewhere or other.
Let's hope they keep popping up from these different places, and we can see them, and we can keep seeing them and discovering them.
Oh, for sure they will. Look how Sherlock Holmes checked up last year.
Mm. That's a big one. I'm looking forward to seeing that one, of course.
Have you seen that?
No, not yet.
Oh, no, we showed it last year.
I wasn't here.
It's on DVD, but it's rather expensive. But
it's worth it. It's Sherlock Holmes.
Well,
first,
it's a great actor. It's a strange film. I mean, don't look forward to seeing really a great film, but it's a great, great document.
I think in these cases, even an incomplete film can be an amazing experience, because at least you get to see it. It's like a memory etched, you know.
Well, I mean, there's something marvelous I only just very recently discovered about Sherlock Holmes. I mean, the point of the film is it was the original Sherlock Holmes. It was William Gillette who co-authored. Well, he really wrote the play, and he played in it for many, many years. And late in his life, he actually recorded parts of it in sound. Yeah. And some clever guy on YouTube has matched the sound discs with the film, and it's magical.
Does
because
it work?
There are moments where it's lip syncing. It's just
wow.
Great. Yeah, just have a quick look at
it's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
And it's only gone on quite recently. Because I'm doing a book on the film which Chaplin never finished, The Freak.
Okay,
And working on it with his daughter Victoria, who was to have played it, and we found another child. Geraldine's husband had two tapes, which were of Chaplin dictating the script of The Freak, and it's a wonderful script. It's a great script, but she said it's the tape's running a bit slow, but she said, but it's not like Daddy's voice, you know, it's a strange voice. And I listened to it, and I realised, you know, having just heard this Gillette thing, that he's talking with the voice of the theatre of 1905. It's going to sell the book, I'll tell you.
What year are these recordings from?
1968, 69.
Wow. Okay. That's magic. Yeah. When you find something like that, what does it feel like?
Well, this is absolutely thrilling. You know, all sorts of things. God, this is going to sell this book if you got this.
Yes. Yes. There's that side too, but there's also wow. I can't believe it.
He always scribbled his notes, but nobody could read his writing. Yeah. So that he would scribble all his notes, then he'd dictate it. So that it's fairly. It's quite well done. It's quite dramatic. So he's able to do this actor's voice. And, so I immediately said to Victoria, the daughter, I said, go to YouTube, this and this. You're right. He's talking with the voice of Sherlock Holmes. Because, you know, he was in Sherlock Holmes.
He what?
You know, he was in Sherlock Holmes on stage.
And he was putting on the voice of Sherlock Holmes in these tapes.
It was how people spoke in the theatre at that time.
Okay.
Yes.
We must talk about this book again.
But then from time to time he actually stops dictating and goes to the piano and composes the music for the show.
So this is just like they left the recorder there and whatever happened is recorded on these tapes.
Yeah.
About
20 minutes of it, you know, really magical. And you don't expect to get good scripts from Chaplin, but it's a wonderful script.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's because
after King of New York, so we're talking. This could have been the film, the final. The script had. Showed that it could have been an amazing film.
Yes. The story is...
Countess from Hong Kong, sorry, that came after King of New York.
Yes. And the thing is, he was starting to do this having had the most devastatingly bad English reviews for Countess.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's so well written. So it's going to be public. The book. Somebody's actually just done a book about The Freak, but this book will have the whole script and it'll records.
Very much looking forward to it. For sure, we should talk again about this actually, maybe somewhere down the line, because I'm very interested. because I hope this is not the last time you'll be on Thread Film Radio, for sure. It's been amazing to have you on. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. More than my pleasure, yes.
And this is Thread Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Thread Film Radio, 24/7 on thread.fm and smartphone apps.